Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. It's March 28th, 8 p.m. Got two good North Carolina wrestlers that I'm interviewing tonight. I got Jake D'Angelo from Southern Alamance and Casey Hutchison from Inca High School. So I got these guys on the show. You know, I try to, of course, try to plan this stuff, you know, in advance. And so I figured, you know, these two would be good people to interview. So I guess I'm going to start off with Casey Hutchison. You there?
Absolutely. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Doing all right. Thanks for joining us. You know, what an interesting season. You're two-time state champion. You know, and once again, it's kind of hard to do this stuff back-to-back. I always like to just ask the questions, a question I ask everybody. How did you venture upon this whole wrestling deal?
It all kind of, like, from the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, it all kind of started when, I guess when I was real, real little, I was all into pro wrestling. And it was kind of like the cliche, like, pro wrestling. I love pro wrestling. And then I went to my first wrestling practice when I was in the fourth grade. Coach Harris, you know, my head wrestling coach at Inca, always had a youth league club, and I finally went and joined it. And, you know, of course I got there and realized there was no turnbuckles and ropes and, you know, steel chairs, and I was kind of disappointed. But, you know, I didn't really get real into wrestling until I was about seventh grade, and I quit all my other sports, and that was kind of when it all kind of took off, and I started getting involved with my club team with Strong and Courageous, and I started traveling, and, you know, it all just kind of built up from there.
That's great. Now, you're a state qualifier. You qualify for the state tournament as a freshman. Were you expecting that, or did that just kind of happen?
Well, you know, I was a 160-pound freshman, so I was wrestling a whole lot of upperclassmen, a lot of guys that were older, bigger, stronger. So going into the regional tournament, I remember I was just kind of like, you know what, man, if I can get to the state tournament, I'll be happy. And so I ended up winning regionals that year, which was, you know, kind of special. You know, that had never been done in Inca history. So I guess I would say I kind of expected it, but, I mean, I was just kind of satisfied with how I did. You know, just making it there was pretty satisfactory for me.
Right. So, you get through your sophomore year and you place fourth, you know, and every time you go, you want to try to – the goal is if you're a state qualifier 1 year, you want to be a placer the next year, and then so on and so on and so on. So you get to your junior year and you actually win your first state title. How was that for you?
You know, it felt great. It was a lot of pressure, you know, kind of taking off my shoulders. You know, it felt great, and I knew that I was making improvements, and that's kind of the, you know, the goal every day, just kind of getting 1% better. And I guess it kind of works every day throughout a season. You know, you're kind of going from, you know, from my freshman year from being just a qualifier, you know, being 1-2, and then fourth place to a champion, you know, to winning again. You know, it's kind of, you just think about it. That should be your mentality. You just want to get better every day. Of course, you want to get better every state tournament, you know, or you want to have a better performance, but it's all about getting 1% better every day. So, you know, finally winning it my junior year was just kind of like, it told me that I was improving. You know, it showed, you know, the improvement showed, the 1% every day, you know, philosophy showed. And it was a lot of pressure off, you know, after having, you know, I had a successful season. It would have been, you know, been ranked number one all year. It would have been a huge letdown to not, you know, be a state champion my junior year.
So, and you of course, you did a lot during the off season to kind of keep yourself at that level, because, you know, more often than, you know, none, that, you know, a lot of wrestlers, they think that, you know, I could do this thing, you know, from October all the way to February and then just take a break and try to hit it up in a preseason. And, you know, you just kept going through it, correct?
Correct. You just don't – I hate the guys that do that. It's just, you know, it's like, it seems like they think they're just going to get better as they get older. Like, that's just kind of what happens. If you get older and all of a sudden they're better. You know, that's not a great, you know, philosophy. That's never should be through your head. You know, you always have to put in the work. Just because you're older and, you know, maybe even stronger, doesn't mean you're better than the year before.
Right. Counting your regular season regionals and state finals, I think that puts you at 58-0. walk us through your match with Jonathan Hanna from Hunter Huss. You beat him 15-6 in the finals.
Yeah, well, it was interesting because I had just wrestled him in the regional finals the weekend before that. You know, I had pinned him in the first period. But kind of going into that match, I felt a lot less pressure, a lot less nervous. You know, I was kind of feeling good, and I think it showed in my wrestling. Just kind of, going out there, and I kind of opened up as opposed to last year. You know, I was nervous; I'd never been there before, and I kind of, scored one day down and kind of defended and gave up a stall call, and it was very different from last year. You know, it was the same guy I'd already wrestled, guy that had to be pretty good. And so, I just went out there and opened up, got three takedowns in the first period and two back points. That's when I really felt like, I was like, I should beat this kid. So that's when I kind of turned it on and really started opening up in the second and third periods and never let up the whole time. So that was, I guess this is kind of like a philosophy I've kind of used all year, just got to open up. I've struggled with that every year leading up until this year. Just kind of, I would score a takedown and then I would kind of shut down. And that was something I was really focusing on, especially in the second half of the season, is not shutting down after in big matches, not scoring a takedown and kind of stalling out. I just wanted to keep scoring points, and that's what I did in the finals. So that was really,
I got you. What I always tell guys who are, when I coach, when I know that I have a wrestler going up against an opponent that, that on paper is more and more inferior, I tell them that, you're the most dangerous person that I believe that out there on the mat is the one that doesn't have anything to lose. Now, of course, you pinned him in the regional finals and he comes back and, you beat him 15-6. I mean, it was something there. It's like, okay, I may not beat him this go around, but I'm not going to let him pin me, that's the attitude that he needed to have. And, congrats on the state championship, but, that's what people need to know. If you're wrestling somebody that is better than you, what do you have to lose? You're the most dangerous person, because it actually, it'll actually hurt him more losing to you, because okay, you're supposed to beat him, so, it's kind of one of those, lose-lose situations in a sense. So, now you committed to, Appalachia State. What made you choose Appalachia State, for your college of choice to wrestle?
Probably the biggest thing for me is, my training partners, as far as like the coaching situation and the guys that are around my weight classes, it couldn't get much better. I've got Darren Burns, he was fifth of the Olympic trials, and I've got Trotman, who's still there. And there's like the Johnson brothers, and Bentley still wrestles, and Zach Strickland's there, and it's close to home, which wasn't ultimately a deciding factor, but just something that was, kind of always in the back of my mind. So I just think, training partners and being close to home, and just that really was just something that I felt like I would fit in. I felt like I would be happy there. And, they've got, I'm going to study education, which App is, prestigiously known for. And, I just think it's a great fit for me.
Well, so what other colleges, were interested in you?
I took my visit to NC State. It was okay. I really liked Papalito and Beasley. They were good guys. And in the end, it really came down to UNC and App. For a while, I was kind of just UNC. I was gung-ho on UNC, but, I was going to study education, and what they told me was I wouldn't be allowed to do my student teaching at UNC, and I was going to have to go to school for like 6 years, and they wanted me to be a heavyweight, which is kind of, just thinking about like eating and lifting weights is obviously just a cool idea, but, in the long run, probably wouldn't have been the best thing for me. I mean, I really liked Mock, and I really liked Colite, and they're all good guys. And like I said, it just didn't seem like it was a good fit for me personally.
Do you think you're going to be able to come in and automatically get mat time, or are you going to do that red shirt year and wrestle a couple open tournaments?
I don't I don't really have a plan right now. We haven't really discussed it a whole lot. But, you know, I'm going to come in. You know, if I go in and something happens and a starting spot opens up, obviously I'll take that. But, you know, if it kind of looks like I'm not going to see any, you know, dual match time or starting time, you know, probably take a redshirt, wrestle open tournaments, get some experience, and get myself ready for the next couple of years.
Earlier in the week when we talked, you told me that you went to watch the NCAA tournament in Iowa. Tell me how that went. How was that experience?
Yeah, that was my third time going. And, you know, it's obviously one of the best things you'll ever experience as a wrestling fan, as a wrestler, you know, that's going into college. It's one of the best things you'll ever experience. It's very eye-opening. It's, you know, just kind of shows you what kind of level those guys are on. And, you know, just seeing, you know, it's kind of inspiring, especially for a young wrestler like me, getting ready to go into college. It's, you know, that has those goals to go do that, has goals to wrestle in that tournament. It's really, you know, it inspires you. It really does. It's cool seeing those guys just on the mat, even just warming up and walking out. You know, it just looks cool. It looks like that's something I would want to do. And it's something that every wrestler should want to do, just go out there and get to wrestle in an NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's always good. Like, you know, I always watch, I try to follow the whole tournament online, and then I watch the finals, and it's good to watch, you know, the kids, especially the kids that I've seen growing up who are wrestling in college, you know, such as, you know, Dominic Parisi from J.M. Robinson. You know, I saw a couple of his matches. You know, well, I'll ask you this question. I mean, how did it feel to actually, you know, witness history in the making between Kyle Dake and David Taylor?
It's something that, you know, you can't even describe with words. You know, the intensity in that arena and just, like, the hype for that was just, you know, something you can't even explain. You just had to be there to kind of experience, you know, the hype and the excitement and the just knowing that you're getting ready to witness probably the most anticipated NCAA wrestling match in history. You know, it was just, you know, it was exciting. It was just something that, you know, I'm never going to forget. You know, I watched Kyle Dake and David Taylor wrestle in the NCAA finals.
I got to thinking after that match, you know, I don't know if that was like some sort of like pick or was it just ESPN producers and the NCAA being smart by actually making that sort of like the main event. It just all of a sudden it happened that the last match was going to be that match.
That's absolutely why they did it. They made it. So, I mean, I remember like reading about when Kale was about to win his fourth title. They had considered making, he was like a 184. They had considered making that the last match the year before he wrestled for his fourth title. But it was absolutely, just kind of promote and make that kind of the main event, which is good, which is absolutely what we need for, you know, our sport. We need, you know, just kind of the, you know, this was the most watched NCAA tournament since Kale won his fourth title. So that's what we need. We need that kind of promotion. We need that kind of, support, you know, just people watching. People, you know, just like not even wrestling fans, just, you know, casual sports fans watching, you know, to go watch Kyle Dake and David Taylor wrestle, even if they don't, you know, they don't follow wrestling. You know, that's kind of what we need.
I couldn't tell you how many people came up to me that has never watched a wrestling match a day in their life until, you know, they watched it on TV that night. And, you know, some of them are actually – They're becoming fans, and hey, you know that's a sport we could use a lot of support. Well, Casey, man, you know, I appreciate you. You know, you being with us. You can actually stay on your phone and you can listen to the interview with Jake D'Angelo. But I do appreciate you talking to us tonight, man.
No, thank you very much. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for what you're doing for this sport and North Carolina wrestling. Yeah, it means a lot, you know, just to get this word out, to get the sport out. You know, it means a lot.
I try. I think you know, wrestlers need to, you know, need a voice, you know, per se. It's kind of easy to say what you want to, you know, say what you want to say verbally than having to go on these, you know, mat forums and stuff like that and Facebook and having to type everything. Well, I'm going to get over to Jake. Jake, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for scheduling and finding some time to be with us tonight, man. Well, somebody like you, you know, I would venture to ask the question about how you start in wrestling, but you know, your dad's a coach. You know, he's the coach of Southern Alamance. I'd imagine you know, kind of started you out there pretty early. You know, but hitting in high school, you know, as a freshman, you know, what were your expectations?
I came in as a freshman, and both of my brothers were on the team with me, and you know, they had both seen the state tournament. My older brother Joey had fallen short, and Tony the year before had come real close. So when I came in as a freshman, you know, we all three kind of set the goal as we're all three going to win state titles and, you know, and make history at the school. And we wanted to do it in the same year, but that didn't happen. But, you know, we all got our state titles eventually. So.
Right. Well, so you placed third as a freshman, and then you turn around and you placed third as a sophomore. You turn around, place third as a junior. Was there at any point were you thinking that, you know, all I'm good for is third place?
Oh yeah. I mean, it was heartbreaking every year. You know, I lose in the semifinals all three of those years, and it's like, you know, what was all that work for, to, you know, to take third place? You know, nobody remembers third place, you know.
Right.
And so, and you know, my dad just had to build me back up and say, you know, you got more years, you know, you got another year, and you know, I was going to get this thing done.
Well, I of course I remember your junior year, you're in the semifinals, and of course what was probably one of the most talked about matches, where it came to that, you know, it came down to that whole judgment thing, you know, with officials, things that can just go, you know, calls that could go this way one day and the other way the next day. And, you know, I think it come down to, I think it was a crucial escape that you were trying to get against Parkland's Jeremy Ward, where you turned to him, which, I mean, to some in a sense will show signs of, you know, you're in a position to defend yourself, but I think you might have had some sort of body lock still on you. You didn't get that escape that I believe would have forced overtime, correct?
That's correct. And, you know, that's really my fault. You know, I was winning that third period by a point, and, you know, with short time left, he got a reversal, and then I put that match in the official's hands, and he had to make that call. And, you know, he made the right call, where
right.
He kept his hand locks and I didn't get the escape. And,
right.
You know, he made the right call, and I live with that call. You know, that's all right.
I got you. Well, so we fast forward it, you know, of course, a year later, and you're in the state finals against Parkland's Jeremy Ward. Was there any sort of I don't really want to say pressure, because you beat him in a regional finals, the week prior, which I think, and that's good, because in a sense, a lot of times I see it in coaching, where one of the two coaches would decide if, you know, if there's going to be a potential matchup in a regional finals that could be a potential matchup in a state finals, somebody usually forfeits and basically lets the other one win that regional. And I actually saw that you two, you know, wrestled and you beat them. How much motivation, you know, that you gain actually going into the state tournament that week, that next week, knowing that the person who beat you in the semifinals last year, you're actually beating the regional finals?
It definitely built my confidence up. You know, all season long, I was just keeping, staying undefeated and, you know, just building confidence at the end of the season. And that win in the regionals, even though it was close, you know, with a last second takedown, even though it was close, you know, I walked into the state finals as confident, you know, as I've been all season. And I think that was what put me over the edge.
You 3-2, and you got that first takedown on you, and I think somewhere in the middle of that match, Jeremy Ward, we all know Parkland in general, they have mastered the cross face cradle, and I think at some point, you know, he had a cradle, he had it locked up, but you were
locked up tight.
Yeah, and you know, he was trying to pull you back in because your body was at a bounce, and you being a veteran wrestler that you are, you knew where you were on the mat and said, "Listen, there's that white line right there because I know you know I'm about to be a goner. You know, if you don't necessarily pin me, man, it's going to get those get the near fall." So the referee, veteran referee Larry Ware, blows you guys out of bounce. Now, did he give you a little love tap at the end or something?
What's that? After that cradle?
Yeah, he kind of gave you like a love tap, man.
Yeah.
You
know, that when a kid turns to doing that in a match, it's kind of just, you know, you're in his head, and that kind of, you know, that builds me up even more. Like, all right, I got this kid beat, you know, I'm in his head.
Right.
And so.
And, you know, of course, you know, it's not Jeremy. A lot of wrestlers get like that because, you know, they're frustrated because they know that that one time that you have a chance to hook up your favorite move or the move that actually get hit on somebody, when you don't get it then, there's a possibility that you may not ever get it again. And I think that was probably what was part of his frustration, which, you know, of course, Jeremy Ward's a great kid, but you know it was a great match in general. Even though it wasn't a high scoring match, you know it was just really, really a good match. I mean, you went out there and you know you wrestled your match. You kind of made him fall into what you wanted to do, and you know congrats to you. You know, and congrats on your state title. Moving forward, you know, so. You committed to NC State, correct?
Yes, correct.
Well, I think you got some past teammates. I want to say that, the wrestling at Carolina, which is like right down the road, I think it's Joey Moon. What made you choose NC State? Is it because your older brother goes there?
That was definitely one of the factors. You know, I really wanted to wrestle in college with one of my two brothers, and you know, Tony's out at Missouri, and Joey's in NC State, and you know, Coach Papalicio and Coach Beasley, you know, they really seemed like, you know, they wanted me on the team, and that's something I wanted, you know, was to want like someone coming after me and saying, "Hey, we want you to wrestle here," and it just seemed right, like going to NC State. Seems right. You know, we didn't have to push for anything. It was just a really good fit.
I got you. Well, how did the Hurricanes Wrestling Club help you as far as like molding you into a good wrestler? We of course I know your dad's a great coach, but you know everybody has that that club team. I think the guy's name's Troy. How did that team help you?
Well, growing up. When we first moved to North Carolina, I think I was like 5. You know, my dad actually started the Hurricanes and coached me up until 8th grade year, I think. And then he moved on to the high school, and Troy took over at the club. And Troy is a great coach, you know, and he's always looking to better himself as a coach, going to camps with the kids, and, you know, going to clinics and finding all the new moves, you know, and getting us ready in the off season, and it was really, you know, it made the difference, you know, coming into high school because to have that solid foundation, you know, it was great.
Yeah, must be nice, you know. Of course, in Forsyth County, where Jeremy Ward, you know, wrestles at with Parkland, you know, they usually don't have they don't have middle school wrestling, but. Of course, you know, Maurice Atwood does a good job of, you know, trying to basically get them to that level. You know, I wish Forsyth County would have a middle school program, but, you know, it's kind of, it's all that goes into play with, you know, with people who are trying to, you know, oust wrestling and, you know, try to, like, you know, get rid of it. You know, like I said 2 weeks ago on the radio show, it's like always one of the first sports that, you know, you particularly want to cut, you know, within an, you know, athletic department, you know, to save a little bit of cash, you know, here and there. And I believe, you know, now we've got, you know, we've separate the cut of the Olymp, you know, in the Olympics. You know what, you know, how do you feel about that?
I think because wrestling's not a revenue sport, you know, they're always looking to cut it. But wrestling does so much for people. We have one of our assistant coaches, Tom Allen, you know, he'll tell you he's coached people and it changes their life. You know, they're just a better person because of it. And, you know, you ask CEOs who have wrestled, they'll hire a wrestler just because of his work ethic. And I think it's a shame, you know, that they don't look into what this sport does for people.
Well, and, you know, here, and it's a good story that I have from back when, you know, when I was coaching, we had a kid that was about 5'6", about 250 pounds, and, you know, he didn't have the grades to wrestle, and, you know, he didn't get his waiver granted. So the head coach at that time goes to the athletic director and say, hey, you know, we need to fight for this kid. And the athletic director, and it just shows you how sometimes, you know, even an athletic director doesn't understand the sport, because the athletic director says, you're really trying hard to give this kid a waiver. What is he going to do to help your program? And the coach turns around and said, it's not what he's going to do to help my program. It's what the program's going to do to help him. You know, he's 5'6", he's 250 pounds. You know, he needs to get that weight off of him by doing a sport that has a lot of cardio. And so at the end of the day, what ended up happening was they kind of tweaked something, and, you know, this kid ends up wrestling, and he ends up losing really a good 50 pounds of just weight that he was burning, because he's, you know, he was burning that fat off, you know, thus becoming healthier. I mean, it always teaches it. It's probably the sport the most it teaches you how to be, you know, how to be healthier, how to, you know, how to do things the right way, and, you know, and staying involved, staying in there and working out. And, you know, it kind of gives you that drive mentally to, even when it's all said and done and, you know, your combative career is over with, you know, you can still go out there and use the lessons that you've been taught through this sport to, you know, keep a healthier body. I mean, there's no other sport like wrestling that, you know, that could help the obesity epidemic, you know, in kids. You know, you agree with me?
Yeah, definitely. And I just can't believe, you know, that they're taking some of these kids' dreams away, you know, wrestling at the next level.
Right, and it's just one of those things where, you know, and I also see it's just a lot of things that, you know, in wrestling, especially, you know, as a coach, that you always have to, you know, you always got to explain your sport all the time. You know, you don't ever see a football coach explaining his sport or a basketball coach explaining his sport. But, you know, there's always a football coach that, you know, that always wants to tell, you know, their big offensive lineman and not wrestling, it's always, you know, if they're going to make you lose weight, you're not going to be able to play D1 football because they're going to make you lose weight. That's the biggest question that I always get from football players, that, you know, you're trying to get after the wrestlers, that you guys are going to make me lose weight. Well, you know, I always tell them in a sense, hey, you're going to lose weight, but you're going to take all that fat that you got right there that's slowing you up on the football field and burn it, you know, and as we do these cardio workouts, you're going to build a lot of muscle. And, you know, you have to actually tell these kids of good football players that, you know, that wrestle, you know, for instance, like Roddy White from the Falcons and Ray Lewis, who was, you know, both were state champions. And then, you know, that's when they kind of realize that wrestling is the only sport that, you know, that can accommodate any other sport you play.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, man, yeah, I'm gonna let you roll. I guess are you guys on spring break this week?
Yeah, I start my spring break, and I'll be spending it getting ready for Nationals next week, next weekend.
Hey, like I said, that's what you call a dedicated wrestler, a wrestler who will spend his time, you know, his free time, his whole week that he has off of school, he's going to spend it wrestling. Well, it was good talking to both you and Casey. And look, good luck, you know, in your future ventures with wrestling. I appreciate you joining us when you get, you know, over to NC State. You know, yeah, we'll probably get back up with you again, because this is not just for high school wrestlers. You know, I want to get some college wrestlers, you know, on here, you know, just try to see, you know, how everything's going for them. You know, I may try to get one maybe in a couple weeks from now, but I do appreciate your time and good luck, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. All right, guys, we had, that was Casey Hutchinson from Inca and Jake D'Angelo from Southern Alamance. I want to remind you guys again, if you could go like our Facebook page, it is www.facebook.com/NC Wrestling Radio. You know, you can feel free to maybe post or you know, give me ideas of, you know, somebody else that I could have on the show. Actually, those two that I had were emails that I got, and so, you know, I had them on the show. You know, this whole show is, number one, is going to be ran by you guys, the people that are listening, whether you're listening live or whether you go back and you replay this. You know, I want to know what you think, because it's not what I think. You know, I can't get around to every wrestler. I really don't know, like, the wrestling talent that's going on, you know, in a Western North Carolina or in Eastern North Carolina, you know, maybe so much as Central, because, you know, this is where I'm at predominantly. So I need your help. But that's going to end it. Again, end our episode today. I appreciate you joining us, and I'm going to schedule the next radio show for next Thursday, about 7:00. So if you got anybody in mind that you think would make, you know, make an interesting show or interesting person to interview, hit me up, shoot me an email, and you guys keep wrestling in these off-season tournaments. You guys can get better. And that's all I have to say for tonight, and you guys be safe. And thanks for joining us and listening to NC Wrestling Radio.